We need to ponder this one for a little while. We sometimes forget this one. Slide by it. I don't want you to do that anymore. The rest of your life, I want you to remember this phrase. Can you see it? We don't have it on the screen because we stopped putting the scripture on the screen, or I'd make them put it up there one more time. It says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But in the Greek, it's the way the Greek language would accent the most important part of the sentence is it puts that word first. And what it says is none. Consequently now condemned for those, condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. None. There is no, that, so the accent in this one should be, there is therefore now no condemnation. Paul has been talking about the law. And we still like to carry bits of the law around with us and use it on occasion as something to slap people upside the face with and remind them that they're not doing it just right. And I don't know, has anybody ever done that to you? Is it they've just done it to me? People want to play Bible ping pong with pastors. Oh yeah, well it says this. So every once in a while I get it. There is therefore now. And that now probably means something more like from now on. Since Jesus, since crucifixion and resurrection, things have changed. From now on, the law has been appealed. And the appeals court said, you are free and clear. I find you not guilty. The law tries us, the law condemns us, and then it's appealed, and Jesus coming and dying and being raised is God's message of saying, yeah, I want you to be in me. I don't want you to be just about following the law. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We ought to learn this one like we learned our wedding vows. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When I first decided I was going to preach on this lectionary passage, I read it through and I thought, oh, verse 4 is where I want to go on this one. Changing our mindsets from a mindset of worldly views to a mindset of God's perspective. And I spent most of this week tearing my hair out, trying to find the message that God wanted me to pull out of this. And I got nowhere. So I started from the beginning again, and I went, oh. And it was like the message opened up again. Therefore, from now on, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul uses this little phrase, in Christ, 164 times. And he uses it in a fairly technical sense. He means take off your skin and put your skin on Christ Jesus and be in Jesus. Jesus is in you and you are in Jesus. No longer are you who you are, but you are Christ Jesus in the flesh. Yes, I said it. You become an incarnation of the Holy Spirit acting in the world. And when you are in Christ Jesus, you are a deliverer of grace and love and forgiveness. And life looks different. When I was a younger man and was brave enough to take youth to amusement parks, there's this great park in Orlando called Wet n' Wild. Has anybody been to Wet n' Wild? Take our grandchildren there, anybody? And as a youth, you want to go on all the things that go up really high and go down really fast. Well, I was aging, and I started finding myself attracted to The lazy river. Hallelujah. You get in the little inner tube along with what becomes your new community of friends, because they go at the same pace you do. So you get to, and you just lean back and it rolls around in circles. It's fabulous. So here's what I want to do with that. When you are a bystander making judgments on God's behalf, but really living in the world and really getting your perspective from the world, you're on the sidelines getting splashed by the folks in the river, and all you get is a little bit of water. But if you want to be in Christ, you got to get in the lazy river. You got to go with the flow that is God. Love and grace and forgiveness have a different kind of flow. Now, you can't stay in it every moment of every day. Being in Christ, being so connected intimately to God, is not an easy thing to hold on to. Even Paul says, you know, I have moments when I get to be that connected and other moments when I'm not so much. When somebody cuts me off in traffic, I'm not in the lazy river. But when Paul says in Christ, he doesn't mean you get to sit on the sidelines and be a theologian. You don't get to sit on the sidelines and just pick and choose. It means you get in, and all of who God has made you to be is what becomes you being God in the world. So if God has gifted you with the ability to sing and you don't sing, then it's like being a bystander. But when you sing, and that's the way God designed you to be, all of a sudden you're in Christ. If God has created you to teach, and you are teaching, and you are connecting, then all of a sudden you almost resonate with the universe. You have this simple harmonic motion of being connected to something bigger than yourselves. That's being in the river. Sometimes we'd rather spend our time looking at the folks who aren't in the river and not say, come on in, but rather, man, they're dumb for not getting in. Invite them in the river. Sometimes it takes a while for us to get used to the pace. But until we're actually in Christ, we don't understand why David is who David is and why the creation is the way the creation is. Paul says, change your mindset. Have a different perspective. And he uses the word flesh. Have the worldview of the spirit, not the worldview of the flesh. And I want you to know that Paul doesn't use the word flesh like we have used the word flesh. It is not about sex. It is about having a culture in your head that is world perspective. I'm doing this because I want more stuff. As opposed to, I want to be connected to love. I want to love my wife. I want to love my family. I want to care for those folks that God puts in front of me that I can make a difference. I want to be God's Peter in the world. It's a different perspective. But sometimes we want it to be a big easy button. Oh, okay, as long as I'm not too worried about sex and gluttony and drinking, and I'm good. That's not what it means. Paul's torture is, I get captured by the stuff, by the world's perspective, and every once in a while I dance with the wrong partners. And then I come in and I get in the right flow. I get connected to God. And then I don't have to paddle anymore. I can just be God's. Have you had moments where you could just be God's? Think about what that moment was for you. Were you building something? Giving something away? Were you buying somebody dinner? Were you working at the boutique? What was it for you that really made you connect to God's flow? Because it's different for all of us. If everybody is supposed to be the same, we call that religious experience a cult. You are not supposed to be like me. You are supposed to be you, the you that God created you to be. And you're supposed to be different. And so, therefore, every once in a while, we're allowed to not always see eye to eye. And it doesn't make us outside of God's perspective. It's not about flesh. It's about worldview. And I think that the lazy river for me is the difference of, am I standing on the sideline watching the folks go by, or am I in it? Things look different when you're in the river. From now on, since Jesus did Jesus' thing, we get to skip all of this stuff that was listed in the Old Testament as law that would condemn us. Which means it's okay for you to eat shellfish. Any of you eat shellfish? Oh, you forgot that was one of the rules. We live in Florida. Of course we eat shellfish. Anybody allergic to shellfish? I'm so sad for you. Oh, my gosh. Shrimp. Crab. I'm hungry. Lobster. It means that we can now wear clothes that have two different kinds of cloth. Oh, we already do that. In Leviticus, it says you can't wear clothes that have two different kinds of cloth. The law no longer is the judge. The connection is to Christ. It's more about relationship with God, deep relationship with God, than it is about rule keeping. I'm delighted that that means I can have a bacon cheeseburger. And some folks can have tattoos. She can't eat shellfish, so she might as well find one that she can disobey. It's a new vantage point. Getting into Christ, being part of Christ, participating in Christ, means there will be moments when we recognize that we are in God's flow. In this sentence, in this verse in Scripture, God takes us back to the Genesis story where God says, here it is, it's created, and it's good, and he replugs us in there. And all the stuff that happens with Adam and Eve and a tree and a fruit, he kind of like does bypass surgery on the story so that we skip all of that stuff now and reminds us it's about being connected to God. And that doesn't mean you pray to some abstract being in heaven, far off land, can't see you. It means you be God in you. It means that we search for the places where we can offer grace and unconditional love and forgiveness, because that is the flow. Whose kingdom do we live in? It's about, part of it's about having an inner spiritual life. But Paul reminds us that we have to bring all these pieces together, that we participate in God's love flow, not as a witness from the outside, but part of that flow. One of my favorite theologians, and somebody I get a devotion from every day, and I read when I can catch up, usually, is Father Richard Rohr. He's a Franciscan priest in Arizona, has a place called Contemplation and Action, a community that's built together, and he does a lot of speaking. He writes a lot of books, and I love his stuff. And in one of his devotions said this: after conversion, you don't look out at reality, you look out from reality. After you're converted, after you're connected deeply to God. In other words, God is not out there. You are in God, and God is in you. You are in the middle of reality. You are part of it. It's a mystery of participation. After his conversion experience, Paul is obsessed with the idea that I'm participating in something bigger than me. In fact, he uses the phrase in Christ 164 times to describe this organic unity and participation in Christ. I live no longer, but Christ lives in me, Paul writes in Galatians 2. In Christ is his code phrase for this new participatory life. This is a completely different experience of life. I don't have to fully write my private story. It's being written with me and in me. I'm already a character on the stage. I am being used. I am being chosen. I am being led. After conversion, you will know that your life is not about you. You are about life. You are about God. You are an instance of both the agony and the ecstasy of God that is happening inside of you. And all you can do is say yes to it. After transformation, it's not about doing it right. It's about being in right relationship. I have to read that one again. After transformation, after conversion, it's not about doing it right. It's about being in right relationship. It's not about being correct. It's about being connected. My hope is that you will read this phrase, maybe these verses, over and over and over, and think on this one line. What does it mean for you to be in Christ? What does it mean for you to be in Christ? You don't look at Christ, you are in Christ. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, use your Spirit inside us to make the part of this story, of this scripture, of these words to resonate in us in a way that allows us to see the world differently, that we might participate in your love, that we might participate in forgiveness, that we might participate in grace, that we might participate in God. Change us, transform us, and send us out to change the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.